Thank you, Jesus. Thankful for his presence with us today. I have such an expectation that God is going to continue to meet us, that his word is going to be fruitful in our life. And we're going to turn to the book of Joshua today. Going back to Joshua, I started speaking about this book and some of this topic, and I'm going to continue today. And last week, I began this kind of a thought out, you know, after we finished preaching from the idea of a righteous house, what I felt like the Lord wanted me to share. I again just began to ask the Lord, God, I want you to lead me. What is it that you want me to share? What does it want me to speak? What should I preach? What is it that I should lead in? And I really feel like he just kind of impressed on me to go back to a book that I'm familiar with, I've read many times, very familiar things, but I want to glean some things. It's the book of Joshua. So we return there again today. If you want to stand one more time for the reading of the word, I'm going to read from Joshua chapter 6 and verse 20. It says, picking up in the middle of the Battle of Jericho. Another famous story of scripture. Joshua 6 and 20. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet that the people shouted with a great shout, that the walls fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. They took the city. My message title this week is First Jordan, Then Jericho. First Jordan, then Jericho. You can be seated today. Last week I spoke from a message titled, It's Your Season to Step In. And I wanted to encourage someone, and I hope that I encouraged you. And I looked at a contrasting two stories of parted water. And the first, most famous parting of the water that we see in the book of Exodus, Moses stretches out his staff and God parts the water and he dries the ground. And then the people walk through on dry ground. That was the story of deliverance. And after they get through, then now there is a pillar of cloud that is leading them. So the presence of God leads them all through the wilderness. But now when they've come to Jordan, now that they're stepping into a new season, no longer is it stand and watch and wait and when the waters are parted and when the ground is dry, now the conditions are perfect for you to walk in. No longer is it, well, just wait and the cloud will go before you. You just follow it. No, now the instructions have changed. Now it's not, well, just wait for the cloud to move. Now it is, pick up the ark and carry it with you. Now it's not just a presence before you. Now he said, you have the ark of the covenant. This is a symbol. This is the place my glory can dwell. I want you to pick it up and carry it with you. And secondly, it's no longer wait for the waters to part, wait for the conditions to be perfect, and then when it's dry, walk through. Now it is, look at the mighty Jordan, which the Bible says was spilling over its banks. Now he says, you see the Jordan. If you want to see these waters parted, you've got to step in first. And after you step in, then the waters will part. And so I preach this, and I just want to begin today where I kind of left off last week and tell somebody that it is not a season for you just to stand back and just wait for the conditions to be perfect, for you to do what's next in God. No, now is the time that you can say, I know what I need to do. I've got the presence of God with me, and I'm going to step in. And when you step in, I believe you're going to see God do some amazing things in your life and in your circumstances. But it's not a season to stand still. It is a season to step in. You've got to step in and see what God is going to do. You've got to take a step of faith. And when you step, then God can do the miraculous. Today is kind of a part two of last week's sermon. We looked at that Jordan River crossing. And now we're going to take a fresh look at a common story, the Battle of Jericho. So if you'll stay with me, I know that sometimes we can get lost in the metaphors, lost in the comparisons, but I hope that I can keep this practical to us today because I believe you have so much that you can glean from this story. Maybe if you read it 1,000 times, do not tune me out today, but just say, Lord, if you've got something, I want to receive it today because I believe that God wants to speak to us. So now, maybe you've taken that step. Maybe you said, you know what? Yes, I want to cross. As they crossed the Jordan River, as they stepped into uncertainty, I want to do the same thing. I want to trust God. I want to, whatever I need to change, whatever I need to do, okay, God, I'm doing it. I'm not going to just wait. I'm moving forward. But now they've crossed the Jordan River. But now that they've crossed the Jordan River, what do they see? Now they are up against a wall. Jericho was a fortified city, a walled city. So great, now that I've did what you wanted me to do, I've come over the circumstance of the rushing river, and I expect everything to be great now. No, on the other side of that river, they come up against a wall. So what do you do in your life when you begin to step out by faith, when you begin to trust God, when you actually begin to do the things that you feel like God wants you to do, and you come up against the wall of a situation? Well, we're going to pick up because we see what they did. We see what happens in Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, the first verse. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. The Amplified Bible says this. Now Jericho, a fortified city with high walls, was tightly closed because of the people's fear of the sons of Israel. No one went out or came in. I want to look at a few things of this story. But what we see here in this very first verse, they were afraid of the people of Israel. We're going to kind of unpack why. But I want to set the stage once again, because I believe in your life, you will find yourself in a Jericho moment, that you are in a situation where you have maybe gone through some things, the wilderness season, crossing the Jordan River. You think, man, God's with me. Things are going good. Okay, I'm ready to see things. And now you are up against what looks to you to be a fortified city. Just a walled city, a walled off circumstance. There's nothing I can do. This is impossible. But what's amazing, the Bible says that Jericho was afraid of them. Now you got to remember that the generation that we're talking about now, these were not necessarily fighters or people that have seen battle. In fact, the Bible tells us almost a whole generation had died off. And now these were young men, young people. This is a new season. And Jericho was the very first city of Canaan. This is the very first Canaanite city for them to do battle. So they haven't even been in a battle yet. So why were they afraid of them? Well, what's amazing is that to understand what was so powerful, we have to remind ourselves of the deliverance of Israel. Because they hadn't fought many battles yet, but they had been delivered. And so this is important and significant, because in your life, I want to tell you, first of all, you need to understand that there is power in your deliverance story. There is power in what God has delivered you from. And if you're not careful, you will miss the power of your own deliverance. When you've been through something, when God brings you something, sometimes we don't recognize or understand the impact of how powerful it is of what we have been through. In fact, there are some things that we do after we have been delivered that I think may be unhealthy. And there's so many more than what I can list today. But I want to list just four things that I believe, if we're not careful, we will do once God has delivered us. The first thing, there's more responses than this. The first thing, it may be the most obviously difficult, the most obviously terrible thing that we could do once God delivers us is keep doing it. The most dangerous thing you can do when God delivers you from something is to go back to it and just keep doing it. And we have to understand this. Now, because I'm going to talk a lot today about how your trials can have meaning, how when life throws things at you, when you make mistakes, even when you have messed up so bad, when God delivers you, He can use those things, those very things that were so detrimental to your life, for your good. But if I'm going to stand here and say that, then I also have to stand here and say this. If you are living in a lifestyle and a habit of sin that you know is not good, God is not pleased with that. Light and darkness cannot mix. I'm not talking about I'm trying my best and I made a mistake. No, I'm saying if you are living in willful sin, if you are living in things that you know for a fact are against the word of God, this is the kind of stuff that people don't like preachers to say anymore. But I'm not just going to give you my opinion. I'm going to give you scripture. Scripture says, if you are say that you are walking in the light, but you are actually walking in darkness, how deep that darkness is. You've got to contend with that. And, you know, Bible calls us to don't. He says, you either be hot or cold. He says, if you are neither one of those, if you are lukewarm, what does God say that he's going to do? God says, I will spew you out of my mouth. So we have to contend with that. So I have to stand here with the integrity of scripture and say, when God delivers you, don't keep doing the thing that had you bound. You've got to make a decision. If God frees me, I'm going to walk in freedom. If God frees me, I'm not going to accept bondage for my life. You've got to make a choice. I'm not going to go back to what I got out of. You've got to make that choice. Last month, I spoke about this, a righteous house. But I want to tell you, first of all, you've got to make that declaration, that decision. I'm not going to just keep doing what I've been doing. When God does something in me, I want it to change something in me. Number one, we can't keep doing what we've been doing. Number two, and this may sound odd, just stay with me. Sometimes we just move on as fast as possible. And there's certainly a natural reaction to this. When you go through something, something difficult, a trial, something that's traumatic in your life, obviously you want to create distance from it so that you can become healthy. But I think that sometimes there's an unintended consequence. Sometimes if we just try to move on so fast, we just neglect that God was even in it. We neglect that there was actually an act of God. There's some things that are so painful, they're going to be a part of your life. But you are either going to remember it as pain, or you're going to remember it as that was a time that even though it was the worst time of my life, God was faithful. It was a time that God showed up. It was a time that God came through. So as much as, yes, you probably need to put some distance, what I'm saying with this is that even if you're running from something or trying to distance yourself from something, don't do it to the point that you forget that God was a part of that difficult season just as much as he's a part of the next season. Even in your darkest trial, God can shine a light. God can make things new. God can pierce the darkness of your life. So don't forget what he has done. We move on so quickly sometimes. We try to move on even for what God has done. Number three, we are thankful and spiritually freed, but we live guilty. If you have been freed but live guilty, you will live as if you are still bound. You need to understand that Romans chapter 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from sin, the law of sin and death. So let me just remind somebody today that once Jesus has freed you, you do not have to carry the shame and the guilt of your mistakes. Once you have been freed by Jesus, you can release all of those things and you can walk with renewed purpose. You can walk in a new identity. The Bible says he doesn't make you just a better version of yourself. He says he makes you a new creation. He makes you a new creature, that the old is past and all things are made new. So in Jesus Christ, you can be made new. That's something that only God can do. How does it happen? Number one, it happens by repentance. By saying, Lord, I am sorry for what I have done, and I want to change what I have done, and I want to change my direction. Number two, if you've never been baptized, today is your day. I would love to baptize you in Jesus' name. Why? Because when you are baptized in Jesus' name, you take on his name. As Jesus was buried and rose again, you can be buried in water for just a few moments and rise to newness of life. And you may want to know, well, why do you baptize in Jesus' name? If I called my name, it wouldn't mean anything. This water here is just Sterling Heights water. It's warm, thank the Lord. But there's nothing physically powerful about this except when I begin to speak the name of Jesus. The Bible says I call on the name, the only name on this earth that can save you and that can save me. So when I baptize you and I call on the name of Jesus, something supernatural happens in your spirit. Something supernatural happens in the heavens. There is like a book. The Bible says there is a book and he begins to write your name on the book of life. So there are people that you feel like the only thing for your future is death and your circumstances are dead. But let me tell you, when you are baptized in the name of Jesus, you get a new life. You get to be born again. In the physical, I can only be born once, but in the spiritual, I can be born again. That is a promise for you. But if you're not careful, you will be spiritually freed, but live guilty. I want someone to come out of that today. And the fourth thing, so again, number one, you can't keep doing what you've been doing. Number two, you can't just move on and forget that God was in it. Number three, you got to live free. You can't live guilty. Number four is similar to the others, but you cannot minimize what God did. I want to tell somebody today, do not minimize your miracle. Do not minimize your miracle. It is human nature. When you are in this place and you pray, you feel something from the Lord, it is in your nature that on the way to your car, you will begin arguing with yourself. Did that really happen? You're not going to change. That was not real. Nothing is going to be different. That wasn't spiritual. That wasn't God. And let me just tell somebody that that is your flesh and the enemy trying to dissuade you of what God is trying to do in you. So let me tell someone today, you cannot minimize the miracle of God in your life. If God brought you out of something, don't you dare minimize your miracle. If God kept you from something, that's amazing. Don't you minimize your miracle. You need to understand, you know what, sitting here today, Mindy Adams is sitting here today. I know you still have pain in your body. I know you still got things that you're going through, but you are a walking miracle. Even though you still struggle, and God's still working and your complete restoration is coming, but she should not be sitting here today. She should not be in this place today. And I'm not going to minimize the miracle. We still serve a God that can heal. We still serve a God that can deliver. We still serve a God that can restore. Don't you dare minimize what God did for you. Don't you dare forget what he's been doing in your life. Your deliverance has power. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. God has done things for you. So why? Why am I talking about this deliverance? Why does it matter? Because the Bible says that the city of Jericho was fortified and shut up because they were afraid of the Israelites. Why were they afraid? They hadn't been through a battle. They were not a battle-tested nation. Why were they so afraid? Because they understood something. They understood, you know what? They have been crossing things that other people cannot cross. And they are carrying something with them that we cannot quite understand. There is a presence with them. There is a thing with them. There is something that I don't understand. And so we are going to do everything we can to fortify ourselves because they are coming. Not because they had won great victories, but because of what they carried with them. So let me tell somebody today, don't you tell me that what God did for you doesn't mean anything now. The deliverance that God has brought into your life has so much power that the enemy takes notice. Trust me, when you're delivered, the devil takes notice and he is afraid of what you're doing. So when you begin to walk in that favor of God, when you begin to walk in your purpose in God, you better expect to come up against some walls. Why? Because the enemy knows that you are not alone, that you are bringing the presence of God with you everywhere you go. So don't you forget what God has done for you, and don't you think that you are powerless in your situation, because we serve a God of all power. We serve a God of all strength. We serve a God that can do the impossible. Don't underestimate the power of your deliverance. It has far-reaching consequences. Don't go back to your sin. Don't move on without asking God, what do you want from this season? Don't live spiritually guilty, operating like a second-rate citizen. And don't minimize your miracle. Jericho was shut up for fear of the Israelites because of their deliverance and because of what they brought with them. And now verse 2. We're only one verse into Joshua 6. I've either have a 10-hour sermon or I'm about to cut some things out. Joshua 6 and 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Now, God is telling Joshua to see something. Well, what did Joshua physically see? He physically saw a wall. He physically saw a fortified city. He physically saw something that he did not have the power to come over. So, it begs the question, why was God saying, see,
He didn't say, you see the wall? No, he says, see, I have given you the city. Well, to understand, you've got to remember Joshua chapter 1 when Joshua takes command. Joshua 1 verses 2 says this, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So you need to understand this. God is asking a question because he said, I have already promised you that wherever you go, I will give it to you. So now that Joshua is up against the wall, I think God makes this statement, but it's really a question of sorts. And the question I want to pose to you today, because you will face walls in your life. You will face situations that you don't know how to get through. But here's the question. Do you see the wall or do you see his word? Because the wall says, this is fortified, you can't come in, you can't conquer, you're not going to win, you're going to lose, this is where it ends. But the word says, I have already given it to you. The word says, see, I have already given this land to you. All you have to do is step into it. So I'm calling on someone today to see the word and not just your wall. I know in your physical eyes, what you look at seems impossible, but can you just see the word of God that says, I have plans for you, plans to prosper you and not destroy you. See, there is a word for you, but you gotta see the word, not just your wall. See the word, not just your wall. A wall cannot fight you. A wall can stop you. A wall can inhibit your progress. But really the only way a wall wins is if you let it. See, a wall, it can only conceal that which is within. The way a wall wins is to stop your advance. It wins when what you imagine behind it, you imagine as impossible to conquer. And you will go through this so many times. What am I talking about? Sometimes your wall is uncertainty. What is going to happen? And if the odds seem bad enough, I'm not going to chance it. Sometimes that wall is doubt. Sometimes that wall is fear. That uncertainty within each and every one of us creates something that is the opposite of what God wants for you. That is a spirit of fear. If you are not careful, every situation you go through will turn into a spirit of fear. Think about it. Is fear your knee-jerk reaction? If so, that is spiritual. If fear is your knee-jerk reaction when you go through a difficult circumstance, that is spiritual. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear. Look, it says three things, but of power. Let me tell somebody today, I know that you may feel weak in your body, but you can have a spirit of power because God, that's something that God gives you. It's not something that you get because you take enough supplements and so I feel strong now. No, you may feel weak in your body. You may feel like you're up against an impossible circumstance, but it is a spirit of power that God can give you. What else? You can have a spirit of power and a spirit of love. You can have love no matter what the enemy tries to throw at you. You can say, I will not be destroyed. I will not be corrupted. I'm gonna love no matter what I go through. I'm gonna love no matter what the enemy does to me. Why? Because it is a spirit. I'm not going to give into the spirit of fear. I'm going to give into the spirit of power and of love. And the third thing, a sound mind. I just want to declare that over somebody today. God is not giving you a spirit of fear. God wants to give you a sound mind. And when you have a sound mind, you can see what God wants you to see. When you have a sound mind, you can see faith and not fear. Oh, I'm declaring over somebody today. Today is the day you stop seeing fear. Today is the day that you start seeing faith. Oh, seeing faith. Don't see my fear. I declare a sound mind today. Let there be a sound mind over your people, oh God. Let there be a sound mind in this place. Oh, I come against anxiety. I come against fear. I come against depression. I declare that there will be a sound mind. I believe that there's a spiritual break right now. I'm going to stop in my message because somebody needs a sound mind. You've been praying and you've been asking God what is going to happen. You know what you need to pray? God, give me a sound mind. How do you get it? You got to reject fear. God, I refuse to see fear. I declare a sound mind. If you need that today, would you just place your hand on your own head and say, God, I come against the spirit of fear in my life and I declare a sound mind. Give me a sound mind. That is a spiritual thing. That is not a fleshly thing. That is a spiritual thing. In the name of Jesus, I pray for a sound mind. I pray for power. I pray for love. I pray for a sound mind today. In Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name. Oh, I feel like this place is about to explode with faith. Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, God, give us a sound mind. Oh, God, give us a sound mind. If you have a sound mind, you can see what God sees. If you have a sound mind, you can see with faith and not fear. Thank you, Jesus. We know this. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In that same chapter, Hebrews 11 and 30, it says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell. How did the walls of Jericho fall? By faith. Faith is what made the walls fall then, and faith is what makes the walls fall today. It's that same faith. If you want walls to fall in your life, it's gotta be by faith. It's gotta be by faith. Walls cannot fight you, but they can fall. Walls cannot fight you, but they can fall. And let me tell someone, if you are discouraged today, can I just give you a little something? If you are discouraged today because of the presence of a wall or a circumstance or a difficulty, to the Israelites, the wall did not mean that their journey was at an end. The wall did not mean defeat. The wall meant they were getting close. When they saw the wall, it meant, I am so excited. We are finally here. If I see a wall, that means I am right on the edge of what God has promised me. No more wilderness. So if your wilderness has turned into a wall, then maybe you need to rejoice because that doesn't mean you're losing. That means you're right there. That means you are so close to what God has for you. And we read on the story. Let me paraphrase for the sake of time. You know the story, but basically God gives them specific instructions. You're gonna walk about the city. For 6 days, you walk around it. Priests are gonna go before. Armed men are gonna go before. They're gonna blow the ram's horn, but the people are to be silent. They're gonna walk around. They're gonna walk around the city. And on the seventh day, he changed it up. And there's instructions. He says, you know, not on the seventh day. On the 6 day, you're gonna do that. On the seventh day, you're gonna walk around 7 times. And what's amazing, we're gonna talk about it in a moment, but I read at the beginning, he said, at the appointed time, all of the people, they were silent until then. But he said, at the appointed time, everyone is going to shout. And when you shout, the walls will fall. Now, there's something I want to tell you about this that's so amazing because we would read this and we would get so obsessed with the order of the people. Well, okay, the army goes first. And if it were you and I, this is the danger. We're going to try to figure out, well, where am I? Am I the army guy? Am I the priest? Am I just the people in the back? What is my role, right? And what's amazing about this is it's not about just the strength of these men. It's not about soldiers and priests, although they had jobs, but it's not about some sort of spiritual pecking order. It's not about some sort of thing that they have to follow. No, the truth was it was never about strength at all. It was all about obedience. The purpose was not strength. It was all about obedience. The question was, can you do what I've asked you to do? What they were doing was not a sound military plan. Made no sense. But God said, if you do what I ask you to do, the way I ask you to do it, I will bring you the victory. The same thing in your life. The danger, and I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us. What if one of the people would have shouted out when they were told to be quiet? Would that have thwarted what God would do? I would probably say no. But the truth is, for them to see what God wanted them to see, for them to experience the victory he had in store, it required their obedience. The same goes for you and I. If you want to see what God has for you, the one thing I can tell you is to be obedient to him. And sometimes if we're not careful with the idea of strength, I want you to be a strong Christian. I want you to be a mature Christian. I want you to know the word of God. I want you to be able to rightly divide the word. I want you to have the right answer. The word of God is our weapon. But the point is not when I read the word of God, I become stronger in myself. If I'm not careful, my desire for spiritual strength will turn into self-reliance. It's not that I just become stronger and listen, I'm a stronger Christian than someone else. No, the point is that my flesh dies daily and that God's spirit is stronger within me. God's power is at work. The only power I have comes from the Lord. I have to constantly recognize that. I have to constantly understand that. So the purpose of this is not, oh, I'm just going to be so strong. No, the purpose is, God, let me be obedient. If I'm obedient in my weakness, you will be made strong. So you need to understand this today. It was about strength. It was not about strength. It was about obedience. Again, Joshua chapter 6, verse 15, the New Living Translation. On the seventh day, the Israelites got up at dawn, marched around the town as they had done before. But this time, they went around the town seven times. The seventh time around, as the priests sounded the long blast on their horns, Joshua commanded the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. It's not shout, and he may give you the city. It's shout because he has given you the city. You're shouting about something that God has already promised and God has already done, but he's waiting for the shout to activate his word. It's not a question. It's a promise. It was a reality that they had to respond to already. Just as we understand, we are saved by faith, okay? It's not my works that save me, but because of what God has already done, there's gonna be some response out of me. Baptism is not works. Baptism is a response to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I am not saved by my works, but I also cannot separate saving faith from obedient living. If I'm gonna be saved, I'm gonna have to be obedient to the word of God. I'm gonna have to be obedient to the Spirit of God. It was not about strength, it was about obedience. And you need to understand this. This was not a battle of force, it was a battle of faith. Jericho was not a fight of force, it was a fight of faith. The true battle was their obedience. The outcome is up to God. The true battle in your life is your obedience to the Lord and listening to him. And what's amazing about this, and I believe that someone's faith is rising in this place because I truly believe that you are coming to an understanding. Lord, I've got to step into what you've called me to step into. I've got to walk into uncertainty of my situation. And I believe that someone is going to reframe their thinking today, that maybe you saw the wall of your circumstance and you thought, that's it. This is as far as I'm ever going to go. But if you can look at Jericho, then you can maybe begin to see a glimpse of, you know what, the wall is not the end of my journey. The wall is just a reminder of how close I am to the promises that God has for me. But you know what's great about this? That we say the Battle of Jericho. I've said the Battle of Jericho. You probably think of it as the Battle of Jericho. But even the Bible translations that put headings above scripture and portions of scripture, it doesn't say the Battle of Jericho. If you look in several translations, the New Living Translation being one of them, it doesn't say the Battle of Jericho. It calls it the Fall of Jericho. And this, I think, is a little bit significant as far as our perspective. Because a battle implies that the victory could go to either party. If I'm in a battle, that means I could win or they could win. And what you're facing right now, because you have been approaching it like a battle, I think you might have missed the miracle of what God wants to do. I'm here to tell somebody today that the wall that you are facing is not a battle. That at the appointed time, just like Jericho, Jericho was not a battle of brute force. Jericho was not a battle of men and weaponry and skills and all of these things. No, Jericho was a point of obedience to God, and when he was ready, it fell down flat. So let me just tell somebody that when God is ready, you are not going to have to do battle with this situation forever. But one day, your walls will fall down flat. I know you've been in a battle. I know you're asking God, how long do I have to fight? But I'm just here to tell you that one day, God is going to decide, this is the day, and your walls will fall down. I'm trying to get somebody to understand you're not going to fight your whole life. You're not going to be struggling your whole life. That when God says it's time, the walls are going to fall down flat. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's stand together. I'm coming to a close. You need to understand that today. It's not a battle. It's a wall. This wall is not a battle. At the right time, it's going to fall. At the right time, it's going to fall. But let me just tell somebody what I feel today in the spirit, in this service. I feel that today, I felt like when I read the verse in 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:7, put that up on the screen again, 2 Timothy 1:7. This is a key for you today. I feel this is what I feel in this service. Each service was different. This is what I feel in this service today. I feel like there is a key in this verse right here. Because when you come up against a wall, you will either see the wall or you will see God's word. And your ability to see either an impossible wall of circumstance or the word of God and act accordingly is what spirit are you ruled by? Are you ruled by a spirit of fear that every wall brings up a new panic attack, every wall brings up a new moment of fear, and you're right back to the same fight you've always been in? Because if that's you, then today we're going to break that in Jesus' name. You're not going to leave here with a spirit of fear because that's not what God has given you. I'm going to tell you right now, if you have a spirit of fear, it did not come from the Lord because that's not what we have. God has given you a spirit of power. God has given you a spirit of love and of a sound mind. But today, for you to get through Jericho, you have to see what God sees and you have to obey what God says. But as long as you see this wall and identify it as an insurmountable obstacle, you will always be in the same place you are today. But it starts with a change of your thought process and a change of your spirit to say, Lord, I reject the idea that I'm going to have a spirit of fear, and I want to walk in with a spirit of love, of power, and of a sound mind. But I want to remind some people today of these things because I want you to understand the power of Jericho. You can't get to Jericho until you go through Jordan. For them to get to Jericho, they had to walk through Jordan. They had to step into the river. The river had to be pushed back. They walked through. And only then were they able to come to the walls of Jericho. And when they came to the walls of Jericho, it was their obedience to the word of God that saw the victory. But what they did, they shouted together. Something that does not seem to be the thing that brings victory. A shout is what you do after victory. Normally, a shout is a response to the outcome you wanted. But God said, no, no, no. You're not going to shout after the walls fall. That would be praising in your own mind, in your own way. No, you're not going to shout after it's over. You're going to shout while the walls are standing tall. While the walls still stand, while the wall is still there, while the impossibility is still there, you're going to shout then because that's what I want for them to fall. In the same way, when they crossed Jordan, he said, last time, it was stand and see. And when the waters parted, when the ground is dry, go ahead and walk on through. He said, no more. For you to step into the promises I have for you, now you have to step in the water while it's rushing, and then I'll move it. Now they're at Jericho. He says, no, no, no. You don't wait until everything's perfect and then shout and then praise. You're going to shout before anything happens. You're going to shout in the face of a wall that is perfectly intact. But when you do, it's going to activate something so deep and so powerful. And so what I understand, We are not commanded by God in the same way as Joshua. God has not told me verbally, have everyone shout. But what I do understand is that we can come together in unity. The Bible tells us that when we are gathered, when two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in our midst. So we're going to do something a little bit different. And we are going to join together in the face of your circumstances, in the face of your opposition. And we are going to lift up a shout of victory before the walls have fallen. And I'm not making you uncomfortable, but if you have have some walls in your life that you are not quite sure how it's going to get fixed, if you are not, if you are a little uncertain, if you are a little fearful, if you are wondering, God, how are you going to do it? If you have any situation like that in your life, in your family, I want you to make your way down to the front right now. I want you to join me here at the front. If you have a wall in your life and you're like, I'm ready for this wall to break, I want you to join with me. And it may not be for you. If you've got someone in your mind that maybe you wish they were here today, but they're not because of some walls in their life, come on down and join me. And if you want to stay right where you are, that's fine. This is not a compulsory request. This is an invitation. Because all across this building, whether you're at the front or in your seat, in just a moment, we are going to shout together today. We're going to lift up a shout of victory before the walls have fallen. You may not have felt like you've got anything to be excited about. You've got nothing to shout about. All you have done is maybe cry or pray or weep or question or ask God. But today, we are changing the narrative. Today, we are shouting before anything changes, because I believe this is a season that God says, I'm ready to do what you want me to do, but I want to see your faith. So in just a moment, we're going to shout. But if you've got one of those situations, I want you to just lift it up to the Lord. Raise your hands right now with me. I want you to raise your hands like you're raising that circumstance, like you're saying, God, see this wall. See this problem.